So I didn't mail you any comics because I'm not a very good person. In fairness to me, I've never been a very good person, but
None of us are saying good F stew. None of us.
so that will maybe happen for next month. I had one that I really wanted to send you that I was like, yeah, this is the Aaron LaRoche comic. But I
Is
didn't,
it
is what
somebody
happened.
eating tacos by themselves?
What?
Is it just somebody eating tacos by themselves?
It's pretty close. It's pretty close to being exactly that.
Oh shit, then yeah, that is.
It's called Who Am I? I Don't Know Who Cares.
Whoa. Yeah, that's very apt.
It includes such good moments as a dude is shooting a basketball, and the text is, "If you make this basket, you will be happy forever." And there's another one that is a diagram of planets in the universe, which includes living alone when I thought I'd be married by now, suffering, and Earth. It feels very like I think you'd like it. So I'll talk more about that later, but how are you? How is your life? I mean, we've texted recently because I sent you misery at like whatever time that was your time on Facebook when I was just like, life is a void, Aaron. Don't succumb, which I stand by. If I, the listening audience out there, don't succumb to the void. But
The void. There's so much out there.
yeah.
Most of it's bad, but some of it's good.
Yeah. That's, that's one estimation. So we've talked, I guess, more recently than used to than sometimes on these shows, but I always still want to know the most recent intel on how your life is.
It's pretty much the same. My only solace in life right now is one day I will die. And then been reading some Baldwin,
Important.
James Baldwin.
Yeah, the Baldwin.
Not Alec, not
Oh God, oh no. Imagine if you were like, yeah, reading some Baldwin. Someone's like, oh, you mean Alec Baldwin's autobiography? Oh God.
that's the
No, no. That may be the world that other people live in, but we don't live in that world, Aaron. We don't have to. We've got options.
though. That's real. I forgot that. It's okay. I can't.
We can always just secede.
I had a trench coat, and that's pretty much.
That's very New York City of you.
I got it for free, so
That's how
that's.
I like to get all of my clothing. I mean, my favorite jacket I got literally off the side of a dumpster. So, whatever you did to get your trench coat, I advocate.
People go to stores and do brand names when there's so much good thrown away clothing outside that you can just have.
Right? It's so true. You can just get so much clothing if you don't care where it was before it was on your body.
And really, what's a body compared to another body? It's all gross, you guys.
Every single human body is equally disgusting.
There was like a pair of very fancy underpants on the road. Well, not the road, the street. And I was like, the options that I came through was like weird outside sex or someone dropped it during laundry.
Could be either one. I feel like, I don't know. I was gonna say, like, I feel like laundry is more likely if it's expensive, right? Because even if you're having weird, freaky outside sex, if your underwear is that expensive, you're gonna keep an eye on it, keep it around an ankle, something like that, right? No one wants to replace their underwear. How rich do you have to be like, fuck it, I'll just fuck outside and throw my clothes on the road?
It's like that was at least a $40 single pair because it was ornate. There were designs.
Ooh, I mean, do what you gotta, but yikes. I'm gonna assume that you just took the, wait, was the trench coat also in the same street? Like, was it like underwear, trench coat? 'Cause then I think you like robbed a flasher is what happened there.
I wish they were so I could have that story, but they were different bros. They could still be. Maybe they dropped their underpants and were riding the trench coat and hoping to flash somebody. Wait, so that means, never mind. I lost it.
Okay.
I don't think I've heard a lot of flashing jokes since I've worn it. But
Yeah, I mean, it is the obvious joke.
it's not obvious joke.
I don't think, I mean, it's probably not true that anyone wearing a trench coat would get flasher jokes. Some people might get school shooter jokes. Like, it
Fair.
depends how much Call of Duty you look like you play.
I feel like you can tell when someone plays a lot of Call of Duty.
There's a look. Some of it's the trench coat.
Navy or the Army pastel.
I don't actually know enough about Call of Duty to follow up on any of those jokes. I just know that it's something that like antisocial male teens do.
Many antisocial people love Call of Duty.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't
Most,
assume it's gendered.
I mean, let's stay woke, Fiona.
You're right. I fell on the Alec Baldwin side of things for a moment there. I was not living up to the wokeness standards of the trades, which is an extremely woke podcast.
Extremely long. I did a show yesterday called this. I shouldn't make fun of it because it was nice, but it was. They're not gonna listen to this. It was called like the Stay Woke Show, and I was just like, oh man, this is just gonna be three white dudes talking about how they're Polish, and it's sort of what. And then there was like us doing improv at the end.
Three white dudes talking about how they're Polish. Like, yep, that's. Although, also, this old guy I used to work with at the fucking luggage store. You recall the fucking luggage store?
Vividly.
Did I ever try to make you hang out with me in the luggage store? I feel like I did, and it was bad. But yeah, I apologize. I'm sorry.
I forgive you. It was like I've never seen somebody look like they have to. Everybody who shops there looks like they have to poop, but they're holding it in and
Yeah.
they're frustrated about it.
Very real. Also a good summary of my boss, who is not who this digression was about. This very sweet old man who basically just did restock and cleaning and some other stuff at the store. Because it was like his second job after his main job doing book repairs at the Smith Library. But one time he tried to tell me about how Polish people were oppressed because historically they couldn't be cops.
Wait,
Yeah, like in Northampton
what?
especially, Polish people couldn't be cops because the Irish didn't like them, and therefore Polish people are oppressed. I was like, that's not. No, sir. Like, fuck off. It was a really productive conversation. So yeah, Wade's talking about being Polish is the most Northampton thing you've ever said, but also probably universally true.
It's a dumb, wow. I mean, I hear dumb things all the time because we live in a piss planet, but that's like, A, that's not true. I don't think that's true. And B, why don't you just go to one of the many segregated cop forces? You could do, oof. This is another segue. I was doing improv and I was walking back with a buddy, and this random white dude is walking with us, and out of nowhere, unprovoked, he's just like, well, it's that diversity scholarship, huh? It's like, when am I gonna get my opportunities, am I right?
I'm gonna murder him. I'm gonna find him and I'm gonna murder him. Like, if I ever visit New York, point him out to me and I'm gonna kick his ass.
The funniest thing is like a second before that, he was talking about how he's gonna move into Manhattan with his daddy's money, and it's just like, oh, life is so
Where are
hard.
his opportunities? Oh, in Manhattan, motherfucker, at your daddy's bank.
If I was a time traveler, I would just use it. I wouldn't fix anything. I would just go back and punch people in the face, and that would be my duty. I wouldn't help. Fuck everybody. I'm just gonna punch knobs in the noodle. I'm very riled up today, and I
Thank God.
apologize for
No, it's
that.
perfect. I love it. I'm all the fuck about it. Honestly, I'm gonna punch knobs in the noodle is fucking poetry. That's it's it's very clear that your background is in poetry because that is pure lyricism.
I also do haikus.
I'm gonna punch knobs is five. In the noodle is only four, so it would take a couple more syllables to really get that where it's going, but I feel like it's well underway.
Gonna work on that. Work on that.
I was trying to make if I were a time traveler fit the. But it's not gonna work. I'm gonna postpone that. We'll come back to this at the end of the show, and I'll see. We can see which one of us has crafted a better haiku about time traveling to punch people.
That sounds good.
Good. So the world is pissed. It's good to have confirmed. Not that I think either of us doubted that. I don't think either of us were like, is the world piss? Is it? Is it piss?
Maybe not. No, yes.
Yeah, I think we were all, we were right there, but it's good to have, objective sources.
Oh, how are you doing, super genius? Good hair.
Been, hammering out details for the fucking grad school I got into, trying to figure out, well, no, that's not even true. I'm gonna do it. I'm like,
Taking your victory lap.
It's one of those things where like it's not great money, and it's not great money for doing kind of a bunch of teaching, and I'm not the most prepared for it. Like, I was not a literature student, so doing a PhD in literature is a little weird. I made an eccentric choice. So there's lots of reasons why I should be like, now that I have got in, let me really evaluate whether this makes sense to, but I'm gonna do it.
Business makes sense. It's already decided because it's my destiny,
I've
but
already decided that I'm gonna do it. I'm just going through the motions of thinking it through and going through the motions of evaluating it. Like, I'm gonna do it and it's gonna suck a lot of the time, but I'm gonna fucking do it. Like, the only reason why I wouldn't do it at this point is I'm not good enough. And, like, sure, I'm not, but if I let that stop me, it wouldn't do anything, so fuck it. Plus, when else am I gonna have an excuse to move to Florida? Like,
yes.
which people keep being like, oh no, you have to move to Florida. And I'm like, oh no, not Florida. I hate being warm. I just hate sunshine. No. I mean, I'll probably regret it in like August when it's 100 degrees every single day, but won't regret it that much. Can't imagine regretting it that much.
I mean, A, you're good enough. B, orange juice all the time, whenever you want. The literature is easy. Just make some like heavy-handed societal reference, or deal with some trauma, and then you're there.
I'm not writing literature. I'm writing about literature. You have to try at least a little bit harder because you have to cite some sources. You can't just be like, the sources, I'm depressed. Although, you know, maybe. Certainly there's a move towards work where the position of the researcher is more explicit. So maybe I can't just be like, I read this and I'm sad. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how I'm sad. How egotistical do you think I can make this? This grad school experience, probably very, right? That's
I think you will be surprised.
the idea. God, I hope not. We'll fucking see, I guess. Yeah, so I don't know. The only thing I'm really thinking about is fucking Adgray Ulskay, and trying to figure out what that whole deal is, which means that I have some comics thoughts, but I'm kind of depending on you to have thought about comics this go round. It's fine if you haven't, because it's not like we're really noted for our thinking as much as for our shit starting.
I mean, we're the voice of a generation.
It's true. A shit starting generation.
That's what we should. We'll talk later. But
About starting some shit? Or do we have a feud? Are we feuding with someone? I'm ready. I'll
I
feud with
mean,
any motherfucker.
I'd
Sorry,
like
what?
to somebody as soon as possible.
Okay.
I
Like a particular someone, or you just want a feud?
guess I just want a feud. I don't really have any. I got beef, but with nobody in the comic world.
Yeah.
I do got some beef.
What is your beef? Tell me more about your beef.
It's actually about the comic I've been reading.
Is this the Lion one or is this a different comic?
The Lion One is a masterpiece,
Yeah.
and undeniably one of the purest things left in my life. I have a beef with Corin Shad. I can't pronounce his name. Corin Shadmi. Shadmai.
What comic? What's the title?
The Abaddon.
Oh, you told me about this, and I did not go find it because I'm not that together as a person. Shad me? It looks like it would be corn shad me.
I'm gonna send it to you when I'm finished with it.
I'll see if I can get it at the library. Because I don't want to own a comic, or not own a comic, have a comic in my house. Because I swear I'm mailing you back your comics eventually. They're all sitting on a shelf in my room, but that's a whole other thing. What the fuck? It's based on No Exit? How do you fuck up No Exit?
It's really good, and I like it a lot. I just,
You have beef with it?
I haven't finished it, to be fair, but so far it's like, I haven't read Last Exit. Let
No
me
exit.
start with that. No
Nope.
Exit.
Yeah.
It's like these people trapped in an apartment and they're bad roommates. The art is great. The story is just sort of like very slow and not in an intriguing way.
So when you say you have beef with it, talk to me about what that means to you. Like, is it because the plot doesn't feel like it's doing what you would like? Is it because it's not enjoyable? Is it because it's frustrating?
The last one.
Okay. Talk me through that a little bit.
This dude has a goal of getting out, being free, and he is continually distracted by the sex, power dynamics, memories, all sorts of nonsense. And admittedly, in the circumstances, I would probably be all fucked up too. But it just seems like dude has a nose for getting into traps. He's not as, I think he's smarter than he's being written, or at least that's what it feels like.
So, two quick notes. One, Abaddon is Hebrew, and it quote appears in the Bible as a place of destruction, and it means the realm of the dead, and that is wicked appropriate because No Exit is about some dead people with problems. And the reason that they can't leave is because they're literally in hell. And the reason that they're literally in hell is none of them will take responsibility for themselves.
I'm into it. I'm gonna read it now because I feel like I haven't read a play in a while, and also I do like this book genuinely. It's just very upsetting to read, and
That's
that's
real.
probably means that it's good.
Yeah, I don't think No Exit will be less upsetting. I think No Exit will probably be similarly upsetting. I read it in French when I was like 17, and that's a terrible age to get into existentialism. Like, Lord keep depressed 17-year-olds away from existentialism. So. It's also the source of like hell is other people, which I've always thought is a bad translation because in French it's l'enfer, c'est les autres. Hell is the others, which is different than hell is other people because the idea is the other as a notion is a kind of hell. Like the experience of being with others, the experience of being defined by others, the experience of having to justify yourself to others.
I'm gonna reread it and try it again because I've been feeling those things, that idea of the other, and sort of like, how does one's perception actually stack up against the reality? is the reality. Reality is like something I make up. So it's sort of like, do I even know other? Now I'm getting existential, which I don't want to do. But
This could be the trades existentialism
out always sumi puun puun. Let's do this.
No. Although I was talking to one of my favorite teens about that comic and how I think it's somewhat unrealistically optimistic.
It's definitely optimistic for if it's like it's the highs and the lows. It's like the oh, love is real. No, it's not. Everyone's awful. But if I control myself and I get in shape, everything will be okay. Wait a second. People I know and care about die. And
I really just meant that a girl fixes his life for him, which is not real and does not happen.
oh, no, that'll never. I really want to talk about Poon
I
Poon
only
now.
read about halfway through, and then I read the final chapter because I was like, I can't keep reading this fucking sex drudgery. Which is how I felt about all of the crotch shots in that. I was like, oh, we're just gonna draw another close up on a fucking vag. All right, my dude.
It's all about everything in the world is about sex.
No, it doesn't have to be. We can end sex. Sex is canceled.
Oh, Fiona.
No, it does. No, we can all live without it.
I wish, I hope someday your dream comes true. For now, this is the world.
It's optional. The world can. I was gonna say the world can suck it, but that makes it worse. That's just relying on the world's terms to condemn the world. Fuck. Everybody could just stay inside and stay clothed, is my hot take here. Is you can just keep your clothes on all the. If everyone were never nude, we wouldn't have this problem.
Would art exist without it, though?
Yes, there's lots of things to be upset about besides fucking.
Oh man, that should be how you start off your class.
Welcome to Introduction to Composition. I'm your instructor. There's lots of things to be upset about besides fucking, you bunch of 17-year-olds.
And then just go straight into Romeo and
I mean, there are lots of things in Romeo and Juliet besides fucking. I don't think we pay enough attention to the non-fucking parts of that text.
Juliet. Truth. There's a whole war going on.
I mean, fucking's really a relatively small percent of the text, like percentage-wise.
That was one of the things with this that I did have. This is a very lust-heavy book, too.
Shame. Shame on that. I don't approve. I think that's bad. You can. There are a whole book series where not a single dude fucks. I don't see why comics can't get on board. Comics are. Anytime a comic is like, time to be literary, let's get my dick out. I don't see why comics can't be literary and a little bit more chaste.
I mean, Puritans did not go so
Puritanism was fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
well. Just
Look, basically nobody fucks in Ray Bradbury, right? He's written a lot of books and almost nobody fucks.
was about to say, people fucking Bradbury.
What? No, nobody fucks. Nobody fucks in a single Ray Bradbury book. There's no fucking. There's no fucking in Ray Bradbury. Or at least I don't remember it, which is the same thing. What else is a good book where nobody fucks?
Lion comic, no one fucks in that.
What? Oh, yeah, well, there's children, but
Okay.
so there's like implied fucking that happened in the past, but it's true that there's no current fucking. So let's talk about the Lion comic because nobody fucks in it. Which is important because when you sent me a link to it, I was like, is this some furry bullshit? And you promised it wasn't. And it wasn't. It was not some furry bullshit.
Listen, I want to go on record publicly and say I am not a furry. I do not condemn or support the activities of furries.
Furry neutral.
I'm furry neutral. And if that's your thing, Godspeed. Wear protection. But I'm gonna be honest, sometimes at 2 a.m. you're a little wired and you're a little sad and you click on things without thinking about them and you wind up with spider harem comics, all right?
Are you still trying to defend your consumption of Monster Musume?
It was an accident. And it was not my plan, but life has a way of throwing you curveballs, and sometimes you just gotta bat up, man.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good that we have an official the trade statement on furries now. Okay. Let's get back on track.
Yes.
Do you want to talk more about Abaddon or do you want to talk more about the Lion comic? Do you have more to say about Abaddon?
I feel like I will have more to say about this book later because I haven't fully digested it yet. But mostly, it's good. It's all right.
The literary criticism for which people listen to us. It's all right. It's fine.
I mean, I'll have more poetic words later.
Yeah.
It's an off day. I read another one of his fucking books, and that one was nothing but it was just him on Tinder for like 200 pages and talking about relationships and how people relate to each other and sex is validation. And the art, he's a great artist, but damn, dude needs to settle down. Go be by yourself for a little bit, Corin. Like, for a walk.
And not a sex walk, just go for a normal walk.
Normal walk. And you, hey, buddy, I feel you. I feel you hard, but there's so much more to life than fucking. And that, like, the last things I've read by him both rely heavily on fucking as a plot device.
Very real.
That's what my beef with him is. There it is. He's a very talented artist and storyteller, but it's like you're doing adaptations or you're doing like Tinder tales. Just do something original. You have a life outside of yourself too that you could draw from,
I
and
mean,
you're not.
arguably, none of us has a life outside of ourselves because we're all trapped in the prison of the subjective. But it is true that there's more to life than where you put your dick. So, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read his books if you want. They're good, but they are frustrating.
Nothing about them has made me the least bit interested. Nothing about what you've said here has made me think that I will not hate them.
Gonna send you both
Please don't. Please do
of
not. Don't do it. I have so much to live for.
I'm at least gonna send you one of them, but not the weird one.
Not the one that's just fucking, the one that's mostly fucking. That's a tremendous. We need to stop talking about fucking on this podcast.
For this one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
This spiraled out of control. That's okay. That's fine. I've been reading this fucking art history text that's 99% about dicks. So it was a little bit the subject du jour anyway, because it's basically 90s takes on what's the deal with the French Revolution looking at peens. Like, that was kind of the, yeah. It's exactly as funny as it sounds.
Is it just like, I really hope the book is just called Dicks.
It's not. It's called, fuck, what the fuck is it called? It's something about like the history of images or like visualization and images. 'Cause what sort of is trying to incorporate more postmodern understandings of sort of how we historicize looking at images and the act of looking, identification and gaze and all that film theory type shit. Like, what do we do with that in the context of art history and how do we complicate it? But what a lot of it ends up being is people being like, so the French sure painted a lot of dicks, huh? Is it like gay? It can't be gay. I'm like, okay. Maybe Jacques-Louis David just wanted to fuck Marat. I mean, probably not actual Marat, because actual Marat had a horrifying skin condition. But like, metaphorical Marat.
Attraction is a spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's I'm summarizing it deliberately badly, but also like it's that's heavily a lot of it is they're like, sure, potentially some of this is homoerotic, but let's assume it's not homoerotic. And I'm like, but what if you just assume it is homoerotic? It was inevitable that this was the trade's takes on fuck in podcast form. Like this day was bound to come, but so we've been reading that the Lion comic. We should specify because we've just been saying the Lion comic, which doesn't tell our listeners anything about anything except for that there's a lion. It's a manga.
This manga.
It's called, I think, It's Really Truly a Lion, or He's Really Truly a Lion, or like, oh shit, it's a lion, or something like that.
That is the actual translation, yeah. It really, really, really is a lion.
Yeah. And it's a lion who's a salary man and he does salary man stuff, but he's a lion.
And it's potentially one of the best things I've seen in my life so far.
You should talk more about it. You should talk about it in some detail.
As previously mentioned, this lion is a salary man, and the way they draw him is he is able to walk on 2 feet and wears a very nice suit to work because he respects himself. So it's a lion, king of the jungle, being a very demure, sort of nervous, anxious fella in a new, because he's never had a job like this before, you know? Gone from the jungle to being a salary man.
He did not go from the jungle to being a salary man, though. He was born in Tokyo.
I skipped that.
That is in the text. His family has been in Tokyo for at least 3 generations. There's a whole thing where one of his new coworkers is like, "Do you do this Tokyo-y stuff?" And he's like, "No, I'm just a normal dude. Like, I don't do fancy things." But yeah, his family's been in Tokyo for 3 generations. He just is also a lion.
That makes me like it more. It's just people putting all this stuff on Rayon about being a lion. You're supposed to be loud. You're supposed to be fierce. You should know about how to be a beast. And he's just like, I just want to provide for my family and do a good job. And maybe, sometimes treat myself to a nice soba after work.
Yeah, he's an extremely boring salary man, who also is a lion and therefore can't use chopsticks and gets made fun of by his coworkers for how his suit is tailored because he's a lion, so we had to have it refitted and his mom like tailored it but with staples and his coworker makes fun of him for that. So he's just kind of a sad sack, but a lion.
He blushes so much
He
in
does.
the comics.
Which, if you think about lions, like, how are you even gonna see that under his lion fur? But fair enough. Suspension of disbelief, I guess.
You're gonna need to suspend your disbelief for this.
Yeah, I guess if you can't suspend it enough to believe that a lion works at a women's magazine, it's not that much of a stretch to go from there to lions can blush.
I think that it's the typical manga art style, very detailed, a lot of squiggly lines to denote feelings. And when children are talking in mangas, because children's opinions don't matter,
It's true.
it's fact, right?
It's just truth.
In lieu of having them have actual dialogue sometimes, or at all, they just have them be like little Japanese characters above their head. That just shows, oh, they're making noise.
Yeah.
Which is, I like that in comics when, not when
When
people don't talk, but when people act are more active, and it doesn't really matter what they're saying.
Yeah, the indication of speech without the content of speech, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun little comic. It's I didn't read all of it, but I read enough to be like, yeah, this is fun. I would read more of this probably. It's cute. I think if you're someone who likes relatable content, you'll like it a lot. I have mixed feelings about the notion of relatable content, but it's an enjoyable comic, and that's, a good thing to have.
You need to enjoy yourself.
I'm a little too Puritan for that. I don't really think anybody has to enjoy it.
The Puritan and the I like how puritanical I've been this time.
Yeah, it's been a very Puritan reactionary episode. Oh, this is what I was gonna say. Thinking of Puritan moral indignation, are you following the most recent Marvel Comics bullshit? You remember when we used to talk about like DC and Marvel on this podcast, like 3 years ago?
Whoops. Yeah. Both of them. I forgot because they're always bad.
It's
Everything
true.
about them made me very sad.
Because I'm only privy to this through fucking Nick Spencer, who they allow to write Captain America, which they should not, is fucking doing more dumb bullshit, I guess, and complaining that people who criticize him are causing him to receive death threats. But, like, he's the same guy who did that god-awful, like, Social Justice Warriors comic where he, like, I think it was a Captain America issue where he had whoever Cap is this time being like, social justice is bad, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, he had some parody teens like trying to silence somebody's free speech. Some dumb bullshit, basically. He has defended Richard Spencer, the genuinely evil Spencer, being like, well, it's his right to speak. Why are you punching him? And then now he's like, oh, but people keep giving me death threats, and that's bad, which is funny because it's their right to speech. Like, if we're gonna allow threats of genocide, I don't see why threats to just one dude who writes a bad comic are such a problem.
Well, it's because, when someone is being a cuck and you gotta, tell them to stop being a cuck, the best way to do that is to threaten their life.
Yeah.
So why are they threatening? Did they give a reason why they're threatening him, or just because he sucks?
Well, he does suck. My understanding is that a lot of people are calling him a Nazi because of his defense of Richard Spencer, and possibly some people are also saying things that he is reading as threats of violence, e.g., go choke on a swastika, that kind of thing. Which, like, meh. I
It's
thought
not.
that was a little funny. But okay, funny is the wrong word. As far as things you can say to someone who's defending Richard Spencer, like, it's a little funny that you'd get really upset over that. Like, that's pretty mild.
Especially for somebody who's okay with the systematic murder of a bunch of people.
Right? Like, the difference between, like, getting upset over someone telling you personally, like, go choke, buddy. Which, like, maybe this is because I'm not a very pleasant person, but that's just conversational to me. If you just tell someone one-on-one, go choke, like, whatever, that's no big deal. That's just, that's practically a greeting in my culture.
I've had so many death threats and I'm still alive. And I'm totally okay. Yeah, getting threatened is a part of being alive.
I mean, I don't think death threats are good. I just don't think that constitutes a serious death threat. Like, go choke is just, that's just a request, you know? That's not even a threat. Like, I'm gonna choke you is a threat. Go choke is just a request.
Yeah.
Especially for someone who's defending, like, Richard Spencer, who is like, I would like all of you to literally be murdered. Like, there's a difference.
Little diff.
Plus, being like, you should go choke because you did something versus you should all be murdered because you're brown. Like,
it's like night and day.
Which is worse, I wonder. Yeah, so he's been fucking running his idiot mouth on Twitter.com again. And also, I guess, in whatever comic, they still let his dumbass write, which, it's fucked up that it's Captain America, of all things, because people always forget this, but when Captain America punched Hitler, it was not popular to advocate for punching Hitler. Like, yeah. People keep doing this, and this is, sorry, I'm about to monologue, because I'm het up about this. People keep equating the Captain America Hitler punch to the mid-World War II propaganda Nazi punching. And they're not the same thing. I think it's important that we did have World War II Nazi punching. Like, punching a Nazi is always good. It's eternal. It's classic. It's always going to be, you know, it's like a trench coat. It never really goes out of style.
Yeah.
But he was also working when not only were we not in the war, it was unpopular to suggest going to war, and there were a non-trivial number of fucking Nazi sympathizers explicitly in America who were like, but maybe we should kill all the Jews. Like, Henry fucking Ford was a goddamn Nazi. And then after the war, he was like, man, it's really actually sad that it turns out when you kill the Jews, that's really brutal. What?
I mean, murder is the act of killing someone?
What? So
they were an island, not this.
Yeah, so on the one hand, it's always good to punch a Nazi. And on the other hand, the mid-World War II Nazi-punching propaganda, a la right in the Führer's face, while that is infinitely satisfying and good, is not a comparable political statement to Cap punching a Nazi. Because that was, ahead of its time, progressive, advocating for a, basically, American intervention well before such a thing was popular. Against what was basically like ethno-nationalism in the United States when we were like, well, why would we get involved? Fuck a Jew, I don't care. Like, the Blue Water Theory was not just, it's bad to do military invasions. It was not constructed along similar lines as largely black-led objections to shit like Vietnam, where it was like, we're not gonna go murder third world people. Fuck that. American isolationism in World War I and World War II was not constructed along similar lines to that. It was like, fuck them, we've got ours, basically. Although, that's not fair, because the Great Depression was bad. The Great Depression sucked. We were still in the middle of the Great Depression when we go into World War II. It's basically only the creation of the military-industrial complex that really pulls us out of the Great Depression. But it was not like a robust political theorization of jack and shit that people were using to say, let's not go into World War II. So when we now see celebrations of like, well, all these dude punched Hitler, or people like rehashing images of punching Hitler, like there was just America Chavez got a Hitler punching cover, which is chill and all. But if you want to recreate what that Hitler punching moment was, you gotta punch Richard Spencer on the cover of your book, right? Like, you gotta punch Donald Trump on the cover of your book. You have to make an actual statement, not rehash what has now become the only universally accepted, and not even really universally, but like pretty close to universally accepted symbol of evil that is Hitler, because he was not a universally accepted symbol of evil when Captain America punched him the first time.
He's dead, y'all.
Yeah. Step it the fuck up.
People. Yeah.
Punch somebody who's alive. I don't think at this point with what the United States is right now, there's like a foreign leader who ISIL, maybe, like somebody in, although even then, the way that we're advocating fighting ISIS or ISIL is not great right now, like, we should be doing much, much more and in a much different way, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, if you have Captain America join YPG, maybe that's the fucking equivalent to punching Hitler. Ian fucking Piss Pig Granddad can team up. You're familiar with that, right? The fucking Twitter weirdo who just fucking joined YPG and that's his fucking life now?
No, what is that?
Oh my god. So he's Lennon Lover 69, Piss Pig Granddad.
Is that his username?
His username is Piss Pig Granddad and his display name is Lennon Lover 69. Was a Twitter leftist irony bro who quit being a florist and literally joined YPG.
But I don't know. Okay, wait. So they just were like, yeah, we'll take you.
I don't know. I do not have an explanation for how this happened. But he's there. He's like, for actual there, like, in that now, like, shooting folks or whatever. That's not a fair summary. But like is actually, yeah, no, he's for real joined the YPG. He is participating in actions trying to take territory back from ISIS. Mostly he posts a lot of pictures of dogs.
You should make sure those dogs aren't with ISIS.
No dog has ever believed in ISIS. There's room to have a lot of arguments about like YPG specifically, and like lots of room to be concerned about all of the above, but he's, you know, he's fucking doing something. I feel like I went too far on this episode in advocating being a tanky. And I'm not saying anybody should be a tanky, right? I'm not necessarily saying Stalin was bad. Gotta start there. Stalin was a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to really go off, this is America. You can go to another country and fight if you want.
Yeah, you can shoot anybody if you're American. Wait, no, hold on. My basic point was not we should all join leftist militant groups. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that. I am saying that it is not a great look for mainstream liberalism to be restricting its images of resistance to something from the goddamn 40s. Because it's not the goddamn 40s.
True. Get with the times.
Yeah.
Even though people who are a direct link or even direct benefactors of the tremendous shitstorm that, I mean, everyone is facing are very want to admit that it's bad. It's easier to pretend that everything's okie dokie and reminisce about shared evils instead of pick a side.
Yeah. I mean, you know what would be great? Captain America punching an ICE officer in the face.
Yeah, that'd blow up.
It'd be super good. Unfortunately, instead, Nick Spencer is like, but what if teens who want me to shut up are bad?
Oof.
Yeah, you're right, though. Current America has such an investment in the notion of its shared evil and its virtue coming from this shared evil in the goddamn 40s that it's completely unwilling on either, you know, I want to say including on the left, but, like, sometimes especially on the left, because the right is too busy being actively fucking racist all the goddamn motherfucking time, that they're not even willing to be like, Nazis are bad. They're just like, well, let's hear the Nazis out. Although I guess the left is also doing that, like...
Man, hippies are the fucking worst.
God, it's fucking true.
They're really bad. They're, like, secretly bad people who use their free-wheel-dealing lifestyles to, I mean, flower power, whatever, but you're secretly just using it to do a bunch of irresponsible emotional abuse. Let's not, I am very bitter, but most... I stand by that. It's sort of, it's a, what is it? A veil. It's a veil to cover your own cowardice.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, like, I have not gone to a protest in, like, a week, week and a half, so I have not done shit, but...
the last protest I went to, I overheard... someone complaining that they're missing brunch for this.
What the fuck?
So you're invested, at least.
Well, I always whine about the speeches on Twitter. I'm like, can you just shut up? Can you just because it'll be a lot of stuff like, if you don't meet someone today, you're doing it wrong. And I'm like, just shh. That's not the point. We're not here to make friends. We're here to smash the stage.
I really want to meet that person that's like, hey, do you know you're both protesters, right? You should be friends. And it's like, bitch, what are we gotta, like, we gotta fix this. They're deporting. What are we doing?
Yeah, so punch ICE.
yes. I have to run to this fucking practice, but I will be back later if you like continuing.
Yeah, we should just talk more later. I think we sort of lost the thread of this fucking podcast. but we should also just hang out, because we're friends and not just people who do a podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay. As always, thank you so much, Aaron, for being the best. And internet audience, if you want more of the trades, you can check us out on iTunes now, which is exciting. Or we have a Facebook page, The Trades Podcast, or Podomatic, as always. Okay, thanks so much.